getting late in Lent, coming real close to Holy Week, and it's interesting that one of the dominant themes today in the gospel has to do with God's timing. God has a perfect time. I don't know about you, it has never seemed that way to me. You know, God seemed to have a great sense of humor. He loves to wait to the last minute. If you're waiting for something, you know, and you think it would really be very clever of God to tell me now, it's never happened to me, you know. When it happens, it's always at a perfect timing, but one that requires faith. And, you know, I just wish it wasn't that way. I really like it, you know, when things are easy. But walking the way of the cross has never been known for it being easy. I've always had a favorite scripture for a long time back. I remember that John Kennedy, when I was in college, said his favorite scripture was from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, for everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. This one said a time for every activity under heaven. And then it goes on and talks about a time to live and a time to die and so on and so forth. Just be reminded, there is a perfect timing for everything in our life and according to God's purposes. He actually has a plan. And, you know, and we have an option to walk according to his plan or walk according to a plan that we might come up with. And I don't recommend that very highly. I've tried that path many times. It does not work out well. God's way is always the better way, even though it may not always make sense to us up front, which, of course, is what Jesus was dealing with. You know, God revealed to him what was going to happen. It says this. He said, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory." Now, in man's ideas, we would be thinking, okay, it's time he's going to be made king. It's the time, you know, for victory for Israel. We're going to cast out the evil ones, and this is going to be the moment for the victory. He's declaring it's a time for him to come into his glory. And, of course, that's the cross. Makes no sense to man. Made all the sense in the world to God, for which we are ultimately and thoroughly thankful for, because it gave us victory over sin and death. And then it goes and he says, now Jesus was in the agony and he said, "Now my soul is deeply troubled." Reminder, fully human here. Jesus knows what's going to happen. "Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour?" And he says, "But this is the very reason I came." He knows that. But in the flesh, it's still hard. He knows how terrible it's going to be. And so, and then it says, "Father, bring glory to your name." Remember this whole thing about Jesus always pointed to the Father. The Father is always pointing to the Son. The Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus, who is pointing to the Father, who is pointing to, you know, and so on and so forth. They have the unity of the Spirit is constantly involved in this, the unity of the Spirit flowing in the three persons of the Trinity. So, just as a little point of interest, for those of you that do the daily office or are even familiar with what the daily office is, you know, that's a way you can follow the scriptures every day and you can kind of follow along the whole church year. There are certain feast days that are set aside, and one of them is this Wednesday, the 25th. Guess what that is?
The Annunciation.
Yes. Interestingly, 9 months before Christmas. Isn't that an interesting little thing? Remember how we always said in in Advent, we couldn't figure out why they were having this repeated because we're talking about fulfillment of prophecy at that point? And here it is. It seemed like the angel came to Mary and she had the baby next week. You know, somehow that just didn't time out. You know, if you're paying attention, you understand. This is the point. This is where the angel Gabriel came in God's perfect time. And yet, how our celebration takes place as the year proceeds. But it's a beautiful time. It's a time where God speaks to us in each part of the season of the church year. And it's a beautiful time. He says, the time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. I will draw everyone to myself. Not all will accept the invitation. In fact, many will not accept the invitation. In our Jeremiah lesson, we're talking about God talking about a new covenant that he's going to bring to his people. A covenant which he will, by his Spirit, he will let us know what it is that God's perfect plans, what his law is. He says he'll graft it into our hearts and into our minds. We'll know what's right and wrong. Now, is it possible for a Christian who has invited Jesus Christ into their life to be their Lord and Savior, is it possible for a person like that to find themselves not having a conscience that speaks truth to them? Let me tell you, it's possible to do that. You can accept Jesus, you know, and you can go wandering to a far field, you know. You can come out from under the covering of God's blessing for a season and a time, but God's still always wooing you back. He's calling you back. You know, you are the son, you know, you've gone astray, but he's constantly drawing you back to himself. But it is possible, you know, for a period of time for you to come out from having a conscience that speaks truth to you. And it finds out that the people that don't have the Spirit of God in lordship over their mind and their hearts can be lied to by this world. And what will happen is it's possible for you to believe that what is evil is good and what is good is evil. Remember, they accused Jesus of that. Said he was casting out demons by the power of the evil one. You know, that's how messed up they were, because they did not have truth within them. The truth of God speaking through their hearts and their minds. God in lordship over them, invited into their hearts and their minds and submitting to the authority of God speaking and leading and guiding them into a time of all truth. Jeremiah said, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. It's very interesting. In Holy Communion, there is a moment in time when we say, a new covenant I give to you. Isn't that an interesting point? God loves to give new covenant to his people, to bless them. And he's talking about entering into a blood covenant with us, in which he is going to do all of the horrible work on the cross, and he's going to bleed for us. He's going to give us the gift of salvation. He's going to welcome us to take his name upon us. We can go into the world claiming to be Christians, people who are followers of Jesus Christ. He invites us to do that in this holy covenant that he gives to us. And he said that I will put my instructions deep within you. You know, it's so important to remember that God wants these things so deep within us. Remember, he used to tell them to give the instructions. They would hang things from their head. They put it on their doorpost. You know, they put it on the refrigerator. I don't think that's quite there. But, you know, you kind of get the idea. On the mirror in the morning, being reminded of God's wonderful truth so that it becomes deep within us and we can walk in the midst of God's holy ways. God calls us to do that. It's time. You know, it's time to decide to put ourselves fully under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. To trust God for the timing of things in our lives. And God will put them together. He'll line them all up. You know, and you know, if you read the Gospel of John sometimes through again, and just pay attention to how many times it says, but the time had not fully come. Or, you know, but Jesus told them not to say anything until the time had been fulfilled. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth His Son in order that we might be redeemed. Trust God. His timing is always perfect. It might not look that way, but you can always trust it. God is aligning circumstances, and it's not just you. Because, see, He's wooing the whole world to Himself. And He's lining up many lives to bless all at time. I was kind of chuckling about that myself this morning. You know, yesterday, we had our work day, and we found out we're going to get our new sign. It finally got approved. And we've been struggling with this for months. And no matter how hard we tried, it just seemed like we ran into a wall. And, you know, but when the time comes, it almost seems too easy. You say, wait a second. Wow, you know, here it is, and it's all fitting together, and it's all looking at Easter. You know, and what a blessing. Because you're always looking at Easter. It all begins and ends for Christians at Easter. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord, our God, we just pray that You would come into us and help us to accept that You do have a perfect time for all the seasons of our lives, and but for the lives of the entire extended families that we live in. Oh, Lord God, You have a precious love for each member of our family, even those that are wandering at the time in the desert, that You're wooing them back and drawing them. So that at the perfect time, it'll all come together in Your perfect plan so that You might, oh Lord, be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.